WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A tropical storm bears down on Florida's Gulf Coast.
Now's the time to take the appropriate precautions. We do expect Hurricane Idalia to be a major hurricane that will strike the state of Florida.
Governor Ron DeSantis, landfall's expected to happen early Wednesday. Reporter Eric Glasser of WTSP found people shoveling sand.
If you prepare for it, then you're ready.
John Gray was out at one of Tampa's three sandbag locations as early as he could get there. Most who stop by say Idalia's winds don't concern them so much as
the flooding, I think. I worry all the time.
It was very fast, everybody. Come and grab your bags.
Hurricane Franklin's now a Category 4 storm. It is southwest of Bermuda. Wildfires, a big issue now in Louisiana.
The biggest fire in state history is burning in Beauregard Parish in southwestern Louisiana, Governor John Bel Edwards.
We have fires all over the state of Louisiana, but particularly here in southwest Louisiana.
No beneficial rainfall is in sight across most of Louisiana. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Former President Trump's arraignment in the Georgia election case has been set for September 6th. And today he could learn the trial date for his Washington conspiracy case. CBS News legal contributor Rebecca Royfe.
There are obviously reasons why the defense may want more time. This is a complicated case. That said, the judge has indicated that she believes that it is important to be able to allow justice to proceed in a timely way.
Well, CBS's Vicki Barker tells us some legal issues could be emerging for the Spanish soccer chief.
Spanish prosecutors say they've opened a preliminary investigation into Luis Rubiales' forcible kiss on the lips of World Cup soccer star Jenny Hermoso on the grounds that it could constitute sexual assault. Rubiales continues to insist the kiss was consensual, something she denies.
Rubiales' mother says she's gone on a hunger strike over the treatment of her son. Technical difficulties brought down Britain's air traffic control system today.
They are getting aircraft down safely, but they are drastically reducing the rate at which aircraft can land.
UK travel writer Simon Calder says that led to many flight delays and cancellations, but now officials say they found and fixed the problem. Here at home, American Airlines is being fined more than $4 million by the government for keeping passengers on board delayed flights beyond tarmac rules. And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 194 points. The S&P is up 17. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Cedarburg woman allegedly misappropriated funds from local schools serving children with autism and disabilities. A criminal complaint says 42-year-old Heather Wenthold was a principal and executive financial employee at a Sonnenberg school branch. Police say after being fired, Wenthold reportedly deleted thousands of files and shut down the company's email system. She's accused of using the money to buy a hot tub, new appliances, and vacations. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio wants the ball club to stay in Milwaukee and is hopeful for public funding for the team. Talks about stadium funding are advancing, although details are lacking. The urgency to address the depleting funds of the stadium district has leaders in Madison seeking public investment for American Family Field, despite resistance from Milwaukee leaders. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. teachers learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board. If you missed any part of our first hour, you can always go listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. Now, one of the things when I started As Goes Wisconsin, which will be 4 years in April, which is wild to think about, you know, I hadn't been in Wisconsin for a long time. And one of the things that is very, and I moved back after like 17 years, but one of the things that is, and I don't know how much, besides maybe Texas, but like Wisconsin loves Wisconsin. People from Wisconsin, like, they love Wisconsin merch. They love Wisconsin content. They love some of the, like, the easy Wisconsin jokes. Like, it just hits. And we know this with Charlie, my friend Alex, some of the stuff I've made. Like, there is, like, drink Wisconsinably. Like, there is an ecosphere of Wisconsin content creators and people who make clothing that that fits in that, and like there's a market for it because people love it. And so I'm so excited to talk to our next guest, who I found originally on TikTok, but before he was doing anything on TikTok or a podcast, he had started a clothing company called Wisconsin Clothing Company. So I'm so excited to talk to Corey Kaiser, who is the co-owner of Wisconsin Clothing Company and the host of the Shot of Wisco podcast. Welcome to the show, Corey.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a pleasure. I'm excited.
Yeah, no. So this is, I think the first couple of videos I saw of yours was just like top five small Wisconsin towns. And you've got a lot of those now. So we'll get back to the content because it originally started as a clothing company, right?
Yeah, actually, and a lot of people don't know this, but Wisconsin Clothing Company's actual parent company is WCC Brands Custom Apparel. We have employees that spend every day, they're doing custom apparel for other businesses in the tri-state area. We felt an easy way for us to be able to showcase how our quality on clothes is by creating our own retail brand. And so that's kind of how Wisconsin Clothing Company started. And then, of course, when you want to create a clothing company, when you want to create anything, you really got to try to figure out social media. So that's kind of how we dove into the TikTok, the Instagram, and all that great stuff after that. And it's been fun.
So basically, so WCCC makes, like, can be contracted by other companies to make clothes.
Yep.
And then Wisconsin Clothing Company makes fun
Wisconsin. Like, I think I saw a shirt when I was on the website this morning with like Chris Farley on it. And the homepage right now is Fickle Logan 2024 or something like that, right?
Yep. We just think that, and like you said, people are very prideful to live in the state. I've lived here my whole life. I'm from a small town. So to me, being able to showcase small towns, you know, the places outside of Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, that make this state so amazing. And like you said, people are so prideful of the state. They like wearing it as clothes. So we thought that it'd be a great way for us to start a brand, and maybe just get our name out there and getting into the likes of the Drink Wisconsin Bleed, the Discover Wisconsin's, the Charlie's, you know, all those guys, as it's definitely very niche. It's definitely, and you've definitely figured that out too.
Well, I have not figured out the merch part though. I dabbled in merch for like the summer of 2021 when the Bucks were winning the championship, and I had come up with some t-shirts that were like quotes from Middleton and Giannis. And I realized how hard e-commerce is and like shipping things and state, like the organizational factor of it. I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah.
So,
It definitely makes it tougher when you have to handle every aspect. But we've really nailed down being able to do the shipping and fulfilling for places. But e-commerce is tough because there's many avenues to be able to sell. You can now sell on social media. You can now sell on TikTok. And there's, so now you, instead of just checking your website to see what orders, you have to check 6-7 platforms to see if you have an order. So it's definitely complex, but we have fun with it over here. And it's definitely been an interesting ride.
Yeah, for sure. And so what is the, so as far as the merch, I don't know, it's not really merch because you're not, I feel like merch is more associated with like a band or like a comedian.
Sure.
Yeah. The funny ideas that you guys come up with, like what are some of your favorite ones that you guys have, or most popular t-shirts or slogans you guys have come up with?
A lot of people say merch. I say it's just, you know, a lifestyle brand. I mean, that's kind of the best way I explain it. I mean, some of our favorite shirts, bestsellers, come around. We put Jump Around on a shirt. That people love that. We just found some really cool items and put the state emblem left chest and Wisconsin down the sleeve. Stuff super simple, and people have loved that. We've also had Okay, Just One More, like a bunch of drinking stuff that people have loved. And of course, stuff based around lake life, summer, campfires, up north, anything like that usually sells pretty well. But we enjoy it all, and we enjoy every design because we created in house as a team. So it's it definitely adds an extra factor when something does well, because there's definitely it's rewarding.
Is there anything that's like was just a no brainer top seller, can't keep it in stock?
We actually have a couple that we've done, and some don't even attain to Wisconsin. We did one with John Daly on it that's sold out like 4 or 5 times on TikTok, which it just has a John Daly party shirt. We also have one. I don't know if you've seen the, I brought it up here. It says the drunkest counties in the US, and it has, everyone has seen this graphic on like social media.
Yeah. It's the blue,
we're like
it's the
literally
blue
the darkest. Yeah. The darkest color. And on the front, it says built different. We've done stuff like that. We like to keep things really, really energetic and fun with our designs.
Do you guys ever get, because I've run into this a little bit, do you guys ever get not backlash, but like the comments on celebrating drinking? Because like I think that there's such a
for sure
there's such a fine line, like I said, with the like the low-hanging fruit of the jokes and the cliches of Wisconsin, like drinking is absolutely part of it, and like where you acknowledge that it's also a problem make shirts out of it.
100%. And a lot of the followers, if you go to any of our videos on our content, you'll see that I comment, whether there's 1,000 comments or 50, I usually comment on majority of them because I like making that interaction with people. So whenever we make content around drinking, I make it very known, you know, we're not celebrating alcoholism. We're not celebrating people who have issues. If you have issues, there's places to go. There's people who can help you with that. On the other side of things, it is Wisconsin. It is kind of a character trait of Wisconsinites, is to be able to go out, have a Bloody Mary, play some pull tabs, and be able to be sociable and socialize at a dive bar. So we definitely celebrate that aspect of it, but we definitely do not celebrate people who suffer from alcoholism or have issues attaining to that. There's people that can drink. There's people who can't drink. But you're right. It's low hanging fruit, but it's just something that people enjoy in the state. And
people buy it, right? Like that's the other side of it. Like people in like, whether it's a content, whether it's a t-shirt, like people think it's funny 100%. Still. And it's
you look at Drink Wisconsinly, that's their whole brand.
That's the whole brand.
Yeah. You know, we like to celebrate everything in Wisconsin. But yeah, you're right though. We know there's issues out there. We're just making the jokes to celebrate, you know, to be a part of the Wisconsin brand. You know, I own a small dive bar here in Keeler. So I'm a part of the Tavern League. I go have Bloody Marys. I love talking to people. So those aspects of drinking, I thoroughly enjoy.
Has the rating Wisconsin dive bars guy come in and rated your bar?
Jared, no, he actually hasn't. We've talked about it 1,000 times, but we're in the most southwest part of the state. He's definitely not. I'm pretty sure he's up like Stevens Point or Eau Claire. Yeah, I don't remember north. Which one. Yeah, he's very north. We've talked about him coming down this way. It's going to happen eventually, but it's like when he is down here, we'll do it. I'm like, don't make a trip to come to our bar. We don't have food. Our food is a Tombstone pizza and Lay's chips. That's all we got. So
that sounds great. That sounds amazing. Yeah. I'm there.
You got like air fryers to put to make the pizzas in?
Oh, yeah. We have just the regular pizza oven that everyone has at their house in their basement. So we're like the most dive bar of dive bars. We sell beer at $2.50, $3 still. We don't change it. You know, it's been here for 75 years and we really don't change anything. So we love it because of that.
You know, I was doing a show in Green Bay once with two friends from Chicago, and one ordered a whiskey and the other one ordered a beer, and she goes, "That'll be $4.75," and their heads exploded.
Right. Oh my God. And we're right on the Illinois Iowa border. So we get Dubuque, Iowa and Galena, Illinois. People that come over to our bar all the time and they're like, "What?" And we're like, "Yeah, we actually sell beer at $2 during half hour." They're like, $2? We've never had a beer for $2. I'm like, oh, you have now. So
I remember the first, this was years ago. This was like 2006, 2007. And the guy I was dating at the time, we were living in New York for the summer for like internships. And we had to come home for a wedding. And we like got a drink at the bar. And he was, "This is like drinking in a third world country. Like, what is happening?"
Yeah. And we posted a video about what's his name? The Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll. He did like, "Oh my God, I was in Milwaukee and I was at a bar and it's just crazy. It was like a random day. And there's like 8 people in Wisconsin that are just getting drunk, having fun, playing dice." Like, I'm like, there's people at every bar that do that. Like that's like the, you know, what it is about Wisconsin that we're just like kind of different.
That we're
built different.
We're weird. We're built weird. Different. Yeah, we're weird, but like I love it. Absolutely love it.
We interviewed an author a couple weeks ago who had moved from Virginia, and when she got here, she's like, "Oh, this is way better as far as like putting my stories in Wisconsin," because she's just like, "Wisconsin's just a character, and like the setting it creates and the people here are unlike anywhere else I've ever been." And so we took that as a badge of honor. All right. Well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk more about the podcast. I want to talk more about content creation and kind of what that leap was like from being a business guy to having to like put yourself on camera, because that's got to be a little different. And so our guest is Corey Kaiser, who is the co-owner of Wisconsin Clothing Company and co-host of the Shot of Wisco podcast. If you have any questions for him, feel free to call in, text in 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. More of As Goes Wisconsin after this. Fellas, bet we're in the mood. Don't just stand there. Let's get to it. Strike the pose. There's nothing to it. Folk, folk, folk. Folk. Ooh, you've got to let your body go to the music. Ooh, you've got to just let your body go with the flow. Ooh, you've got to bow.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny this afternoon with a high of 79. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear again tonight, lowest level off around 58. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms, highs level off around 77. Mainly clear skies Wednesday with a high of 70. 76 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board, and we are talking to Corey Kaiser, who is the co-owner of Wisconsin Clothing Company and the co-host of the Shot of Wisco podcast. And so before we were talking all about the clothing brand, the lifestyle brand, but then you started popping up on my TikTok, and I was like, oh, another Wisconsin creator. And, you know, there's a handful of us who make, like, distinctly Wisconsin content. Mine is obviously much more news oriented, but you are not, you don't consider yourself a content creator, do you?
Honestly, like I said, I'm a small town kid. Like, I don't think of myself in that way. I see myself as more of a business owner. In that kind of sense, but I create content.
Yeah,
I mean, right. I for sure am a content creator in a way. I started creating content last April, a couple months ago on TikTok. I created a video just seeing, you know, what kind of people, what kind of Wisconsinites are on TikTok. Let me know where you're from. And it for some reason it did well. And I started to realize that, like, TikTok's a great way to get to show your content. And since then, I've been kind of, you know, I feel like once you start making content, you don't really know where you're going with it, especially when you first start and you kind of find your way. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we started with. But it's definitely been a fun ride since then.
What was the first video?
I've posted like four or five videos of like stuff that I did like in the past. They weren't like meant for TikTok. They were just like, I was like posting them to see what, like, seeing what the app is. But then in April I posted a video. It was just me saying, I'm pretty sure I had bang on the drums sound on the background. I had a Packer shirt on or something like that. And I said, I'm very curious. I'm doing an experiment. I want to know how many Wisconsinites are on this app. If you are, let me know area code, where you're from in the comments. And it got like 100,000 views. Since then,
dang.
Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't know that I could reach that many people. So since then I started just posting stuff that was really relatable to people in Wisconsin throughout the year. So whether or not it was talking about the Packers winning or losing, the weather, news, or, you know, anything that attains to someone from Wisconsin, I was trying to hit on, and it's just kind of grown from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So then you started a podcast. So what, like that, like if you weren't doing enough stuff as far as running a company, trying to make videos, and then also doing a weekly podcast. So what is, what's the premise for the show?
So I did a podcast a long time ago with a couple of buddies. It went nowhere. It failed miserably. But I had I had all the audio, the equipment stuff set up, and I kind of started thinking, hey, if I have people that like enjoying seeing my ugly mug on their phone on TikTok and seeing me talk about Wisconsin, why not create a podcast? So I have a buddy here that he's been my best friend since grade school. Whenever we talk, you know, we've had multiple people say, you guys are just complete idiots when you talk to each other, and that people enjoy hearing that. So we kind of started one. We just want to talk about the news and do kind of show people like a different way to hear the news than seeing it on TV, where we kind of put our, like I said, dumb little spin on it, where it's just us arguing with each other over very minute things. And like I said, since then we do other things like top five, you know, video, you know, things in Wisconsin, things to do in the summer, top five Badger players of all time. So just a bunch of stuff around the state. And we just have fun with it. That's all like that really matters to us.
And how is it, once a week?
Yeah, we do it every Tuesday, or so once a week. Yes. But we try to hit for every Tuesday.
All right. So this last one was, just came out 3 days ago.
Yeah,
our friendship might be over. What was the the point over that?
Oh, okay. So we do so basically all like throughout the whole show. So we both have three news articles we bring up, and Kyle, of course, like I said, he's been my best friend forever. Every segment that we do, he puts his like really really dumb humor spin on it. Like so, even if we're talking about something super serious. He like dumbs it down by saying a couple, like he'll end like this end the segment by saying something like stupid that like take away the seriousness of the conversation and kind of like ruin the segment. And he did it like the whole episode. So at the end, we were just going back and like, hey, what, like basically just be like, hey, why are you so stupid? That's kind of what it was.
Okay. All right.
And like I said, we just argue and have fun. We've been best friends forever.
Where does he live? And can he be my best friend?
yeah. Hey, I'm good with being friends with everybody. So, like I said, we just like to have fun, and we just enjoy that people enjoy that. So,
absolutely. Well, I want to squeeze this in. We only have 2 minutes left before we got to let you go. But as I was preparing for the interview, you and your wife back in January committed $1 million to UW Platteville Foundation.
Yeah. I don't shy away from like when people ask me about my family, stuff like that. My family, my parents have been pretty successful in their life. So we have a foundation that we have set up that we donate over a certain amount to charities in the Southwest area of Wisconsin. And I of course graduated in 2018 from UW-Platteville. We do a lot of work with them for custom apparel. So it just kind of felt right. So we put $1 million towards, actually 3/4 of it towards, they're building hospitality suites for the basketball court. So that's something that they're doing now. And then the rest of the donation will be towards scholarships for people wanting to go to the University of Wisconsin-Platteville.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, amazing. Especially considering the news from last week that we haven't covered enough yet on this show of the cuts that are happening to the UW system. Madison, Platteville, you know, I mean, how many of the campuses are running at a deficit right now? So to hear that you guys are still like, you guys are supporting them and finding ways to help fund them and fund scholarship, like that's awesome.
Yeah. I absolutely love Wisconsin. I want to do as much as I can for people in the state. So that's my goal for the rest of my career is to make Wisconsin better.
Same here, man. Ditto. Yeah, Corey, this was so fun to have you on the show. Hopefully we can find some more ways to collaborate.
Let's do it.
Corey Kaiser, owner of Wisconsin Clothing Company. Check out their website and get some new t-shirts and check out the Shot of Wisco podcast. Anywhere you find podcasts?
Shot of Wisco. You can find us on all podcast platforms.
Perfect. All right, Corey. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back after the break.
Thank you.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief, March 4th, 2024, just set as the trial date for former President Trump's D.C. conspiracy case. His arraignment in the Georgia election case is September 6th. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
After he is arraigned, we will start to see a slew of pretrial motions to have the case dismissed or moved to federal court or separated from the defendants, and of course, to extend the trial date until after the election.
Idalia is now a tropical storm. Forecasters say it'll be a strong hurricane when it hits the Florida Gulf Coast.
Picking up your trash cans, securing anything in your homes, outside your homes, your patio furniture, your boats.
That's the mayor of Fort Myers Beach, Dan Allers. The BBC's Paul Moss on an air traffic meltdown in the UK.
One airline has described it as a network-wide fault, and a passenger waiting in Budapest says they've been told it could be 8 to 12 hours before they're allowed to depart.
Officials say it's been fixed now. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kate.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Further insight into do-over ballots in Wisconsin might emerge today, as a judge in Waukesha is set to preside over a case concerning ballot spoiling. That's the practice of obtaining an additional ballot after casting an initial vote. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has sought to permit voters to acquire a second ballot. However, both a lower court judge and an appeals court have ruled against allowing the practice. A potential revival awaits the Rosebud Cinema in Wauwatosa. Pete Schwaba has more.
The city has a meeting next month to explore the possibility of revitalizing the theater as a community initiative. Following its closure due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the theater remains shut with no intentions to resume operations. Atosa Alderman envisions the theater being reborn through community backing, transitioning into a nonprofit entity.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And what, if you're thinking about it, what's been the biggest about face public opinion has had over a public health topic? Like when you're thinking about, I guess, like we think about seatbelts, we think about cigarettes, we think about We're still very much in it with COVID, so I don't think that's part of it. But like when we think back to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, where just like what conventional wisdom told us and we believed. And now we look back, you're like, wait, what? And I guess there's a lot of that with pregnancy, of just the fact of still people were like, oh yeah, my mom drank with me. My mom smoked with me.
Yeah.
But what do you have a, I have, I'm getting to a point, but Greg, do you, can you think of one?
I mean, I'm trying to think, it's kind of a weird one, and it's kind of the joke. Comedians have done this fun stage here and there, but like the health benefits versus the maladies of eggs. Like one year it's like eggs are good for you. Next year eggs are bad for you. The next year, well, just the whites. Now the yolks are good for you. Well, the yolks can make your cancer. Who knows? Like it's every year. Eggs are evolving to be a health phenomenon.
I feel like coffee's that same way.
Yeah, say coffee, like chocolate,
sometimes
eggs.
Coffee's great for you, and sometimes coffee's awful. And I think even this morning as I was going through headlines, I saw something with coffee where like charred coffee grains are stronger than sand. So they're replacing portions of like things used for sand for making stuff like manufacturing. Like they're replacing it now with charred coffee grinds. I was like, oh, and we're drinking that. Great.
We just got to find, we got to find something that 218 million gallons of wine can replace now, and France can just ship it over. We have the,
we just have to find another article that says drinking is healthy.
Exactly. Because,
or at least one glass a day is good for you, which, yeah, I think has been unfortunately debunked. I don't think that's actually true. Unfortunately, you can get those antioxidants from elsewhere. and especially because when one glass turns into one bottle, I think the health benefits are negated.
Oh, and that red wine, and that red wine hangover ain't good.
No, not at all. All right. Well, and I asked this, so this is actually something, I guess it made the rounds on social media earlier this year, and I totally missed it. So like back in February, this old vintage like news clips from the 80s, I think. Yeah, from the 80s. It was footage of Americans like super angry about the increasing like laws about drunk driving. So let's just play the clip and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Any attempt to restrict drinking and driving here is viewed by some as downright undemocratic.
It's kind of getting common this when a fella can't put in a hard day's work, put in 11, 12 hours a day, and then get in your truck and at least drink one or two beers.
They're making it laws where you can't drink when you want to. You have to wear a seatbelt when you're driving. And pretty soon we're going to be a communist country.
It doesn't help that the cast of King of the Hill were interviewed.
I know. But, and I'm trying to think, I obviously, when this, so it's footage, like I said, it's footage from Americans in the 80s, and like drinking and driving first became outlawed in 1910 in New York, and then closely followed by California. But like restrictions continued to shift and evolve over the years, with an update in the 1980s when the legal alcohol limit went from 0.15 to 0.1. And apparently, at least according to this video, there was a lot of people who were very upset about it. And so that clip specifically was shared a bunch of times. I just came across it at the end of last week. I was like, this is just interesting to me because of the idea from, like, now I think there's still obviously people who drink and drive. There's people who are like, I'm not that drunk. It's not that far. Like they make validations, but they know, I feel like conventional wisdom now is drinking and driving is bad. We should not drink and drive. And like, no one's trying to justify it. Like, oh, the government is like treading on me, trying to tell me I can't drink and drive. Right. Like it's shifted. And I'm trying to ask like, what else has shifted like that and find other examples.
One of the biggest is probably like, you know, when I want to sleep, you know, my doctor used to be able to prescribe me heroin. And now I can't. What is this country becoming?
We got a caller?
We got a caller on the line. If you want to talk to us too, you can go 844-967-2789. But for right now, let's talk to Tom from Cedarburg. Tom, what's going on?
Well, I have a couple of examples of people change their mind on. I remember them saying how much better margarine was than butter, and now it turns out the margarine is not very good because it's hydrogenated. And
yeah.
That's a bad process. Also, diet sodas. None of them now are actually any good for you. And a lot of them actually, they make you hungry later on, so you actually take as much calories in, maybe not at the moment, but plus the chemicals that are in them are just awful for you.
Well, that, and actually, have they come out and said, like, what's actually worse for you? Like, the chemicals and the aspartame in a diet soda versus just having the, like, 100 grams of sugar in a regular soda?
Oh, the diet is worse.
The diet is worse. They've said that.
Yeah.
Nutritionists.
And also with their sugar, most of the cheap sodas have high fructose, which again, is not good for you. Not as bad as the diets, but still not good because your body has a hard time processing high fructose corn syrup. But not many sodas, unless you're talking Spruckers or some other ones, have natural sugar in them. And if you're going to drink, that's the way to go.
Well, it's so funny because I feel like that, like the diet fad foods of at one point, it was like no fat anything. But then they put a bunch of sugar or like aspartame in it instead. And then it became Atkins and like keto, where it's like, no sugar anything. And you're like, this ball feels kind of fat.
And how did the creator of Atkins die? Oh, yeah, from his diet. Boom!
Thanks so much for the call, Tom.
Sure.
We now have a Hawk calling from Madison. Hawk, what you got for us today?
I can remember back, it must have been in the early 2000s, when they wanted to get rid of smoking in bars, specifically in bars.
Yeah,
and people were losing their minds saying that all these bars are going to close.
Yeah,
you know, I went and testified at the Capitol, and my saying was, if the best thing about your bar is that you can smoke in it, then you should really think about your bar more.
Go ahead, Hawk.
Oh, no, and sure enough, you know, like, they literally thought that, like, everybody was going to lose their businesses, and, you know, nobody lost their business because you couldn't smoke in a bar, by the way.
And frankly, there was something really nice, even as a smoker, like, not coming home from a bar and smelling like smoke. Like, your clothes, like, I had to throw my clothes in the shower right now because they smell like a pack of Marbreds. I liked that. I liked the non-smoking in bars. I was all for it as a smoker.
It was, you know, it's funny you say that because a lot of smokers, for instance, like people who smoke, felt the same way you did. And yeah. And actually, it's funny because I own some bars, but having to go outside to smoke now has created a whole different kind of like social scene because all the smokers are kind of standing near each other, and then all of a sudden they're talking to each other rather than in the bar they might not have talked to each other. And now they have to go outside and, like, socialize with each other because they're all huddled around some heater or whatever it is. And, like, so it's created a new but, yeah, it is kind of funny. As smokers, we're all for getting rid of – like, no, it's a nice thing to not have to smell like smoke. So,
well, because if you ever travel
– people change
like, when I've traveled to Europe, most places in Europe, you can still smoke inside. And, like, it is – even if they have good ventilation, like that feeling now of, oh, I have to wash everything. I have to wash my hair. I have to wash my clothes, like everything. But even if you go to a cigar, because there's a cigar club, Shakers, in Milwaukee, and I'm sure most cigar clubs are like this, where it's the same thing. Like, wear something in there that you don't, like, you don't have to get dry cleaned because it's going to cost you. But thanks so much for the call, Hawk.
I went to Berlin years ago, and I walked into a bar. This is after Wisconsin had passed their smoking ban. I walked in. I'm like, what's different? And my friend goes, we can smoke in bars. And I was like, oh, right. Yeah. And then what they told me was that they had passed a smoking ban in Berlin, and like 3,500 people just walked into the middle of the town and just started smoking outside. And the council was like, okay, I guess not. Never mind. Sorry, we were wrong.
So there the protest works.
Exactly.
But here, Vivian's like, no, this is happening. If you're just joining us, we're talking about what's the biggest about face the public has gone through when it comes to a public health topic. And we're talking about this because I found footage or a video that was getting circulated of people very upset
about being able to drink and drive at the same time back from the 80s. And I think about that now and we'd all be like, yeah, of course. Like, even if you do it, you don't talk about it. Like, there's not this expectation that the government's overstepping by saying like, hey, you can't do that. And so we're asking you for other examples of what else have we changed our minds about over the years? 844-967-2789.
Mark from the SAC, what you got to say today?
Well, the good one is on the smoking thing. I haven't been able to drink for a while because of some health things raised recently. But I mean, that going into bars and not smelling like an ashtray when you come out of it is just something pretty nice now. But coming out of a restaurant not smelling like an ashtray is pretty nice. But the fact that adultery amongst our political figures is much more acceptable now than it was in the past. That, you know, for example, you know, Wisconsin's, representative leader, you know, Robin Voss, he's on his fourth marriage now. He claimed it was number three because one was just an annulment rather than a divorce. But I mean, that it is just, and Donald Trump, I mean, that I'm not making.
Is that a public health concern, Mark?
Mark from the SAC, are you just wanting to talk about Robin Voss, the popcorn king?
Well, yeah, but it is, you know, the health thing that, and the whole thing with butter and margarine and all that. I mean, I said, great, you know, butter tastes much better than margarine. But I can remember growing up, my mother, you know, putting margarine in front of me, and that. And we all thought it was better for you, and of course now it's butter is actually in limited quantity is actually better for you than margarine.
Because back in the 50s, sure. Doctors smoked in commercials and were like, Chesterfield cigarettes, 4 out of 5 doctors recommend. So do the Flintstones. Chesterfield. What?
Did doctors like smoke during surgery? Isn't there a story?
Oh, I'm
like
sure
that?
They like, did. They were, like, I'm sure they like. Yeah, they're, like, I'm sure they did all that stuff back then. Yeah, I mean.
Well, all the nurses used to smoke.
Nurses still smoke. I've had that conversation with nurses as far as like, because like they can't, like when they're on call and they're on shift, like that's their one vice to like have like a release while they're still working. Versus like they can't go out and drink. They can't like pop a gummy.
Well, my I had an aunt that actually she worked in the VA hospital up in the cities, that she actually died of lung cancer after. Because when she went to medical school and nursing school back in the 60s, all the nurses smoked, and even though taking care of the guys at the VA hospital, they're dying of cancer. That she eventually quit smoking, but by that time, that probably the cigarette smoking that she had done, impacted her lungs and took her out. But I mean, it is just. If you're not a smoker, even outside when you smell cigarette smoke, you might be. Actually notice smoke. I mean, I know I do.
Yeah absolutely. But, thanks for the call, Mark. I like the idea of adultery being a public health concern that people are less worried about now. But we're talking about how public opinion has changed over different public health things, seatbelts, drinking and driving, cigarettes. Also question, what do you think the next thing is? Like what we look back on 40 years from now and be like, God, I can't believe they thought that was okay. Or God, I can't believe they thought that was a big deal. We'll have one more segment. We'll take your calls and your texts, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. More As Goes Wisconsin right after the break.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear this afternoon with a high of 79. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows around 58. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, 77. Mainly clear Wednesday with highs around 70. 76 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are talking about medical or public health fads or policy that public opinion has changed its mind on over, but at the time was very upset about, because we found footage of, or footage was circulating of people very upset when the drinking and driving range, or like the limit, was lowered. And one woman even saying, well, this is going to become a communist country. And I'm pretty sure since that has not created a communist country. But it's interesting because you can hear some of those same like slippery slope arguments, you know, with COVID and vaccines, and we still hear some of it today. But I'm just curious, of besides drinking and driving, I guess seatbelts are kind of one of them, smoking, certainly, but trying to think of other examples of where we've changed our minds.
The biggest one is probably going to be marijuana.
Well, for the future, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of already there.
We're already there, but I mean, it's really taken a lot to do it. I mean, there's still no federal law in the books that are even being tried to plan. I mean, back in the 30s, marijuana led you to want to dance in public and listen to the jazz music.
See, I think the bigger jump will be hallucinogenics. I think that, absolutely. Like, 'cause I think for a long time, like, we're now getting the point, like, where weed was like illegal, but everyone was doing it, versus I think the jump in mushrooms, like ketamine, LSD, and especially because they're being used for like medical, like mental health things, that the huge jump we'll see like 20 or 30 years from now, as far as like, oh, can you believe we used to take all those antidepressants and now we just are rolling on shrooms?
In 20 or 30 years, though, Kristen, that's all going to be legal except for in Wisconsin. We'll still be like, we can still drink ourselves to happy. We do have a call on the line. If you do want to call in, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Join the conversation. But for right now, we have Price from Texas. Price, what you doing down there in Texas?
Sweating.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, that's about right.
Sweating. This is not fun. But I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I just want to kind of piggyback on the smoking thing. I'm an old person, oldish. Jane will tell you the same thing when she comes back. You can ask her. When I was in high school, there was a smoking section in the parking lot for the kids who were 18.
Oh, wow.
Yes, indeed.
Kristen, I'll take that.
The other thing is...
Oh, go ahead.
What's that?
I was going to say.
Well, I just wanted Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say 18-year-olds could drink too back in the day, and they would go on sure break could. And get wasted at a bar and come back to high school.
Sure could. But the other thing is that I know this still happens down here, and it has to do with in the service industry, restaurants, et cetera. And even when I was at working in the ski resorts, they would let people go on smoke breaks. But if you didn't smoke, they wouldn't give you a smoke break. So people started smoking.
Yeah.
And I knew a girl who was, she was 18 and she was working in a restaurant and people were getting smoke breaks. And she started smoking to get the smoke break. And then she got hooked.
Wow. Yeah. I remember having some rules like that when I worked in the restaurant industry. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go smoke then. Or and then like, yeah. So that's so funny, but thanks so much for the call,
yeah,
Price.
You had to smoke. You couldn't go read a book. You had to
yeah. You could just like take a break and take a step outside and like take a break from annoying customers. Like, no, you better be smoking a cigarette if you're going to do that.
Right. That's it. Have a great day. Good talking to you.
Have a great day, Price. Thanks for calling, as always. From the text line, Wes from Middleton, nurse here. I think we have finally kicked the smoking habit for the most part. Not many smokers left. I can think of one or two, maybe two of my unit of 90 or so RNs. Hospitals don't allow smoking anywhere on campus anymore. We typically wouldn't have time to go out for a smoke break anyways these days. That is a good point as far as... understaffed, definitely understaffed nurse shortages. We felt that certainly when we were at the hospital for Mike's back surgery a week ago, as far as they were, they did say that. They're like, oh, we're just a little short-staffed. It's like, it sounds like you guys are short-staffed all the time, but I digress.
We got another caller, Tom from West Allis. What you say, Tom?
Good morning. I have to agree with... the last caller, yeah, I went to Homestead in Mequon, and yeah, we had a full-size courtyard that was a smoking lounge, and then that moved to like a fenced-in area, and then they finally got rid of it. I also used to go back in the day to the Landmark Lanes on the east side.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
Theater. And when I was, 18, 19, because drinking age was 18 then, we used to hang out there all the time, bowling, playing pool, talking smart, all that fun stuff. And then years later, and I'm going to talk about 6 years ago now, though, I was on a skee-ball league. And it was in the basement. It was in the Landmark Lanes. And it took me about an hour and a half to figure out what was different. And the whole thing was, yeah, there's no smoke in here.
I made
you could see though, because there used to be beer signs and stuff. You could still see the nicotine stains
yep.
on the walls in that place, which is, but yeah, smoking. I was all for raising the drinking age to 19. Granted, I was 18 when the drinking age was 18. It made sense to me to get it out of the high schools, but 21, I still question a little bit. I think, the kids will binge, and cause we have the problem of kids binge drinking now in college because it's illegal, and it's the, I guess they didn't have the binge drinking like they do today, and there was talk about that a few years ago. Trying to get the age down to 19 again, but that was sacrilege.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for the call, Tom. That's the Landmark Lanes with the nicotine walls. That's really funny.
When I was talking about being covered in smoke with my clothes, that's what I was talking about. Landmark yeah. Lanes.
With the walls. But it was funny because I looked up seven of the most outrageous medical treatments in history. This is from history.com. So there was snake oil. We call snake oil now as far as things that were fake. But at one point, actual oil from snakes was used for like a variety of things. Cocaine, the wonder drug.
Cocaine.
Vibrators that could cure your hysteria.
Yep.
Fenfen, the miracle pill for weight loss. That was, I definitely remember taking that in like high school and it being like, oh, your heart's gonna explode, man. What else? Heroin, the cure for a cough. Lobotomies, hacking away at troubled brains. Shock treatments, the cure for impotence. And so, this is why we say that, you know, science evolves.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a very fun show today. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thank you to Corey Kaiser for being our guest. Thank you to everyone who called in and texted in. Thank you to Greg Bach for running the board. But we'll be back tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media